I closed my eyes, but about half a second after I had, Molly nudged me and said, "Wake up, Harry. We have company." I opened them again and found that the gray late afternoon had settled into the murk of early evening. I looked up into the rearview mirror and spotted a white sports car coming to a halt as it parked on the street behind us. The running lights went off as the driver got out. "Took him long enough," I muttered. Molly frowned at me. "What do you mean?" "Asked him to meet me here. Didn't know where to find him." Molly peered through the back window, and even Mouse lifted his head to look around. "Oh," Molly said, understanding, as Mouse's tail thumped hesitantly against the back of my seat. I got out of the car and walked to meet my half-brother, the vampire. Thomas and I were a study in contrasts. I was better than 6.5 feet tall and built lean. He was a hair under 6 feet and looked like a fitness model. My hair was a muddy brown color, generally cut very short on the sides and in back, a little longer on top. It tended to stick up any which way within a few minutes of being ordered by a comb. Thomas's hair was black, naturally wavy, and fell to touch his shoulders. I wore jeans, a t-shirt, and my big black leather duster. Thomas was wearing custom-fitted pants made from white leather, a white silk shirt, and a coarser silk jacket, also in white, decorated with elaborate brocade. He had the kind of face that belonged on billboards. Mine belonged on wanted posters. We had the same contour of chin, and our eyes resembled each other's, unmistakably in shape, if not in color. Mom gave them to us. Thomas and I had finally met as adults. He'd been right there next to me in some of the worst places I'd ever walked. He saved my life more than once. I'd returned the favor. But that had been when he decided to fight against his hunger, the vampiric nature native to the vampires of the White Court. He'd spent years maintaining control of his darker urges, integrating with Chicago's society, and generally trying to act like a human being. We'd had to keep our kinship a secret. The council would have used him to get at the White Court if they knew. Ditto for the vampires getting at the council through me. Then something bad happened to him, and he stopped trying to be human. I might have seen him for a total of 2, even 3 minutes since he'd been knocked off the life force nibbling wagon and started taking big, hearty bites again. Thomas swaggered up to me as if we'd been talking just yesterday, looked me up and down, and said, "You need an image consultant, stat, little brother." I said, "Guess what? You're an uncle." Thomas let his head fall back as he barked out a little laugh. "What? No, hardly, unless one of Father's byblows actually survived, which essentially just doesn't happen among..." He stopped talking in mid-sentence, and his eyes widened. "Yeah," I said. "Oh," he said, still wide-eyed, apparently locked into motionlessness by surprise. It was a little creepy. Human beings still look like human beings when they're standing still. Thomas's pale skin and bright eyes went still, like a statue. "Oh," I nodded. "Say oil can." Thomas blinked. "What?" "You get to be the Tin Woodsman." "What?" "Never mind, not important," I sighed. "Look, without going into too many details, I have an 8-year-old daughter. Susan never told me. Duchess Ariana of the Red Court took her." Said Thomas. "If I'd known that, maybe I would have been here sooner." "Couldn't say anything on the phone. The FBI and the cops are involved, having been made into roadblocks to slow me down." I tilted my head down the street. "The cop who lives in that house at the end of the street has been coerced into helping whoever's trying to stop me. I'm here, hoping to nab either his handler or his cleaner and grab every bit of information I can." Thomas looked at me and said, "I'm an uncle." I ran the palm of my hand over my face. "Sorry," he said. "I just thought this was going to be another chat, with you all worried that the evil White Court had been abusing me. I need to take a moment." "Make it a short moment," I said. "We're on the clock." Thomas nodded several times and seemed to draw himself back into order. "Okay. So you're looking for... what's her name? Maggie. My brother paused for a couple of heartbeats and bowed his head briefly. That's a good name. Susan thought so. So, you are looking for Maggie, he said, and you need my help? I don't know the exact date, but I know she's going to be brought to Chichen Itza. Probably tonight, tomorrow night at the latest. Why? Thomas asked. He then added, and how does this have anything to do with me?